This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome in, everybody. Live Bet Saturday rolls on, Final Four edition, with the great Jeff Schwartz. I'm Ben Wilson. Pumped to be back with you here for the next 4 hours. And Jeff, we've got ourselves a ball game to start things out. 40-34, Auburn on top of Florida as we near halftime. Obviously, that'll be the main talking point. We'll also get into some of the nightly NBA, MLB, maybe a little NFL draft as the show goes on. But as somebody who was brave enough to take some Auburn pregame here, Jeff, I was not. I didn't get to the window. I ultimately stayed out of this thing. You got to be feeling pretty good, though, as the Tigers hit a 3 lead by 9 here as we near halftime.
This is the best Auburn has looked in the first half of a meaningful game in a month, at least, right? I mean, they played well against Maryland, but not like this. I mean, they've been lights out. And you know what? This is a story because they're playing in a football stadium. We talk about this all the time, where in football stadiums, sometimes it takes a little bit of time to figure out how to shoot because the depth perception is a little bit off. Not tonight. I mean, these guys haven't missed tonight. You know, the first half over, it cashed as well. You know, the second half over, the full game over is looking pretty good right now. These teams just cannot miss, man. So 43-34. I'm going to try to grab Florida at some point. I got Auburn plus 2.5. I think I see Florida plus 4.5. Do you see that as well? I might wait till halftime and see if I can get a halftime.
Yeah, I am seeing as of right now. This is at DraftKings, so as always, shop around, check your odds provider here. But I'm seeing Florida as they just make a couple free throws plus the 3.5 right now, and 165.5. This actually peaked. I mean, I was seeing 169.5, some 170.5 live, Jeff, with the unbelievably insane start. Kind of hard to believe. I think because the way this thing started, the way we watched it, we're going, man, these teams can miss. But the total actually live got back down to where it started at around 159.5, 160.5. Then it has spiked up a little bit. So from that end, it does show you that total that high. We're talking 160. You do need a lot of efficiency. You need a lot of tempo for the entire game. And at the same time, this does feel like it's definitely looking to be an over. Janiah Broome, a bucket at the hoop. So you look to fade him, Jeff, in some of the prop markets. But as much as he's looked really good, he certainly looks healthy. Usage, to me, is going to be the big question second half, because we've already seen a couple times he's needed to ask out of the game and get a breather.
Yeah. He's just bullying Florida. I mean, right now, I mean, I think I'm a couple seconds behind you with my feet. I mean, he just is taking the defender right to the rim and backing them up. I mean, if he needs to have to make shots that easily, I won't have to worry about about my prop. I won't have to sweat it, because he'll just go right over. He's got 12-4, no assist, 12 points. He's 5-10 from the field, 0-2 from three. And you know, this Auburn team, like, the story to me in the first half has been Auburn has just physically bullied Florida. Like, they've taken it to Florida physically in this game, and they've made their three pointers. And they're not shooting. Look, and the thing about the score too, which is kind of fascinating to me, is, you know, Auburn's only 26% from three. Like, they're not killing it from three, right? You would think that with 45 points at halftime, that would be something they would be. They're not. They have less foul shots than Florida. Rebounds about the same. There's been no turnovers, really, which has been helpful for Auburn. Only 2 turnovers so far. 26 points in the paint. I mean, it's not a typical performance we see when you have 45 points at halftime. You're making 7, 8, 9 threes. Auburn only has 4. So it's been really efficient offense for them.
It's the first meeting that everybody was talking about all week, when Florida went down to Auburn. They were 11-point dogs, 190-81. That was a game where Florida's strength, which has been dominating the glass on offense, getting second chance points, limiting 3-point shooting. You know, Auburn actually did a pretty good job, Jeff, in that game of keeping Florida, relatively speaking, off the glass. They were about even in rebounds. Auburn actually had more free throw attempts in that game. It was just a day where Florida went nuclear from three. They hit over 40% of their threes, hit 13 of them. It's always going to be really hard to keep up with a team like Florida when the Gators are doing just that. I figured if Auburn could at least keep Florida away from the three-point line, off the glass, they'd be live in this game. And while Walter Clayton's gotten his 14 points, he's on pace to go over his 21.5 point prop there, Jeff. Yeah. I mean, the looks Florida's getting, they've just been hard to come by, and they've had to earn really every shot, and it's all, for the most part here, been close to the basket.
And I think you mentioned the point about Florida being able to score quickly and easily at times, right? And I think that's why Auburn's playing with a much quicker tempo on offense. Like, they're trying to get in their offense quicker. They're attacking the paint. They're trying to give it to Florida. And look, we talk a lot about body blows in football, right? The idea of if you hit someone for a long time, right, eventually the wear and tear on that body over 60 minutes. It does feel like Auburn's trying to body blow Florida here, right? The wear and tear of trying to defend them over the first half, you know, they might, that three-pointer might be a little bit short. Every point might be a little bit off if you're a little bit tired. So it does feel like Auburn is trying to physically take it to them. 46-38 right now. Florida takes a timeout with 1.6 seconds. You have to use a first half timeout, right? Or you lose it. I think that isn't the rule, yes, of college basketball. Dumb rule, just like most rules can be. Yeah. They should also let, okay, this time of year we watch a lot of women's college basketball, obviously, right? It's fun to watch. I've been wagering UConn every game. It's been very fruitful. They let the ladies advance the ball, right, to past half court like the NBA does. That's a change college basketball has to make. There's 1.6 left on the clock. Florida's not, has, there's no play for this. But 1.6 on the other side, you got a play, Ben. So I think college basketball has some changes to make. Quarters, one of them. And I think they should let them move the ball past half court to give them a better opportunity to score here.
Those are two pretty easy rule changes you can make, yet for whatever reason, the powers that be have not yet wanted to enact that. I just call that the between the review that happened right before the timeout and then the timeout itself. That was the let's be kind to everybody at Live Bet Saturday to allow Von Dalzell, who's coming up in 10 minutes, allow him to give his halftime breakdown, because Von from NBC Sports will join us here coming up in 10 minutes. It's going to be great because that little delay of about 4 minutes will give us enough time to see the second half markets come out a little bit. We'll get Von's in-game thoughts as well as what's still to come here in Duke and Houston. 45-38 Auburn. They cover the first half, as Jeff mentioned. First half goes over the total. So we'll get back to that in a second. It is 7 p.m. on the East Coast, Jeff. We got a bunch of games about to start, both in the NBA as well as in Major League Baseball. At least for me, I just have one play here in this night slate. That's on the baseball. I'm gonna bank that this is finally the night the Mets hard hit luck turns around, because the Mets have been just really snake bit so far. One of only two teams in the Major League Baseball under 200 average as a team, yet they are fourth in both hard hit percentage and barrel rate. They're hitting a lot of balls right at people, and they get Chris Bassett, who gave up 8 hits in his first start and really flirted with danger for Toronto, only gave up 1 run in 6 innings, but I thought was pretty fortunate to get unscathed, relatively speaking, in his first start. So I played a little Bassett over 4.5 hits tonight, laid -155 on that as Toronto, yeah, and the New York Mets about to get underway from Citi Field.
I like it. I make 2 baseball wagers every day. I fade the White Sox on the run line. I did this last season. I was up like 40 units. It was so much fun, partly because, you know, sometimes they're plus money wagers, right, to fade them on the run line. That's paid off the last couple of nights. The first 3 games, it didn't pay off. And then the Rockies bullpen, essentially, but their pitching staff is atrocious. Okay. It's the worst in baseball. I've been betting the team total against the Rockies every night. I think I'm now 5-2, something like that. Like, it's gone well so far. I haven't added up it. So I have the A's over 4.5 runs tonight in Colorado. I got lucky last night that it hit an extra innings. Yeah. It's part of the game. And the snow was falling down. I mean, it was pretty fun to watch as they got 2 more runs there in the 11th inning, not even the 10th, the 11th inning. They got 2 of those runs. So doesn't always work, but I've been doing it this year just to kind of see how it goes. Small sprinkle, but the Rockies pitching is so bad. It's atrocious, and their bullpen is even worse. So I'm trying to fade the Rockies pitching as much as possible. So I have that for tonight.
I love how our game boards just say the Athletics. That's an underrated, hilarious part of 2025 for everybody watching.
Well, they don't have a city this year. We're not calling them anything. Sacramento.
Apparently they're just the Athletics. It's ATH is their little 3-letter abbreviation.
I
don't know.
Oh, interesting. It just, you're right. Like ESPN.com, it just says Athletics.
Yeah. They're athletes, Jeff. And they're as long as they can get you over the 4.5 runs, that's all that matters.
They just ditched their sitting. Wow, I did not know this.
The Athletics are at the Colorado Rockies tonight on that. Now, wow. The one NBA bet I was close to getting to, there's 2 games about to start. The tanking 76ers are catching 16 at home against Minnesota. I mean, I watched the Sixers live bet against the Bucks.
I'm going to live bet that if I can get anything under 10, maybe, right? I mean, the Sixers have been a fade team every night.
They were they played hard for a half against Milwaukee, and they just didn't have the bodies. I don't think that's a bad strategy at all against the Minnesota team fighting for playoff positioning as we speak. The one that I was really close to get to, and this has been just crazy line movement, I stayed off at Memphis and Detroit. Memphis has not beaten a team over 500 since February 2nd, Jeff, and yet they are laying points tonight against Detroit. But the issue is Detroit's been a little bit shorthanded. Tobias Harris out tonight. There has been some late money, though, coming back on the Pistons. This got out to as high as Memphis -3, which just stunned me, given how much it's been a disaster here for the Grizzlies over the last month and or so, especially with the firing of head coach Taylor Jenkins. We're now back down to Memphis -1 and 239. But that's one that bears watching here, maybe from an in-game perspective, especially because what kind of effort do we get out of Detroit? They just clinched a playoff spot, but they are still very much in the mix for the battle between the 4, 5, and 6 seeds there in the East.
Yeah, the NBA is heating up. I think I was looking at the Lakers. I'm a Lakers fan. I was looking at the Lakers schedule, and I guess I hadn't realized like how close it is to the postseason. The Lakers have extra games because they lost some with the fire, right? So they have I think 2 extra games than everyone else does. But we're getting to crunch time now. These games are hugely important. We have playoff seeding, right? There's playoff jockeying, teams trying to find where they're going to be, especially in the West, with everyone sort of jumbled between 3, 4, 5, and 6, and some of those teams can lose. If the Lakers lose like 4 games, they might be in the play-in, right? So these games are hugely important. If you're sort of maybe periphery paying attention to NBA right now, seeding's happening at the moment.
Especially when you get a team like a Minnesota, part of that big jumble in the West against a team who's trying to tank for draft positioning like Philadelphia. That's why we get a line aforementioned of 16. All right, second half lines are starting to pop. It's Auburn by 8 on top of Florida at the half. We'll bring on our pal Von Dalzell from NBC Sports. Give us his take on the second half betting and angles for Duke and Houston as we're just underway on Live Bet Saturday.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is Live Bet Saturday, Final Four edition, as we've made it to the half. Our first of 2 games from San Antonio, and it's Auburn, the short underdogs on top of Florida by 8, 46-38. Auburn and over in the first half. As we go out to our progressive guest line, it's Von Dalzell, our pal, who joins us from NBC Sports, betting analyst that you can follow at V-Money Sports. Opportunity. Now, we said, Von, it was that replay and the timeout. It was basically, the NCAA tournament's way of getting you the full airtime you deserve while we've got a chance to break down this halftime line. So it's Florida -4 I'm seeing. Not a ton of movement here. Upside or total, 84 your total for the second half. I see a couple of 83s out there, so some under money it looks like coming in. What do you make of the start here and anything that's worth betting as far as the second half goes?
Yeah, well, I'm pretty sour that I didn't put out on Twitter that the first half over 75.5 was something I was really liking, but I didn't know if I was going to get to the window on. End up being a super easy bet here. So naturally, like the tournament has gone, I would look at a second half under. But I think Auburn's team total under 86.5 is what I'm seeing and what I played. That's a pretty high number right now. I mean, you're getting value of 7-8 points concerning where it was pregame. Obviously, that was a great first half there. I was interested to see how Auburn would come out because defensively, we know they are the better team over Florida, but if you get caught at Florida's tempo, Florida's pace like they did early in the season, that's when you get a game script that doesn't go in your favor and why Walter Clayton has 14 points. I don't think the Gators have been as good offensively as they can be here. And second half, like I said, we'll slow down. You guys know naturally each possession becomes a little more critical, right? 3-pointers, you get a little more nervous chucking them up. And I think for Auburn, I think some of those shots aren't going to fall as nearly as often. They'll try and slow the tempo down. So right now, I do like Florida at the 4.5. I might end up betting it. I'm going to probably get off air and decide, but I like the Auburn team total under 86.5. I played that already.
Any worry for you that Auburn, though, is trying to match Florida's pace? That's what it feels like in this game. Like they're trying to score as much as possible. They're going up the court, they're Alabama, right? They're trying to score as soon as possible.
Yeah.
Does that concern you for any sort of underwager here in the second half?
I mean, you've seen a lot of these games in the last 3, 4, 5 minutes. These games slow down tremendously, and I think we'll still see that. You know, in the last minute of that first half, you've seen Clayton get down the lane, scoring right away, some foul calls. Like, those things are going to happen, but we're not going to see, in my opinion, this game should be tighter. I don't think we're going to see those intentional fouls where, you know, the last minute and a half, we get those fouls that the over keeps continuing to go up and up and up here. But a lot of these SEC games, I mean, we saw them earlier with Alabama in particular, Kentucky too. A few of them where these totals touch, you know, the 180s, 190s, 200s, and they only finished 10 points over the original total, right? They slow down a lot. So I think we do see that, understand everything you see in the first half might not point towards that. But that's kind of basketball and betting in a nutshell, right? These teams are going to come in with a game plan at halftime, how to slow down particular players, how to get Auburn out of the paint, how to limit these open threes. And when you have a total still that's 167.5, it's easy to look at the over, but there's no value betting that considering where we were at 157.5, 158.5 pregame. So you could only look at the under, in my opinion.
Hey, he's Von Dalzell joining us right now from NBC Sports. Does outstanding work for them. If you can follow him at V Money Sports with the 84 I'm seeing across the market here, second half total. That does come out to the 168. That is about 10 points higher from pregame total. So you're certainly chasing it if you're looking to go to the over. We did just get a final, by the way, guys. Was everybody else locked in? Well, first half, final four. Were we all locked in on the crown? Central Florida over Villanova, 104-98 in overtime. Nebraska Central Florida, Vaughn, for those who are interested, 60-second take on the crown championship game that all of America is going to be locked in for on Sunday here.
I mean, I'll tell you, I like Bryce Williams a lot. Nebraska was a team that I covered on Peacock all this season long. We had a few of their games, and it seemed like all their games were competitive coming down to the wire. If not, they're losing by 6, 7, 8 points because they had trouble closing games. But I certainly would lean the Cornhuskers. I mean, they were a fun team coming into the tournament to watch, fun team to bet on probably. I don't know what their odds to win were coming in, but I'd imagine that they were one of the higher echelon teams of the tournament. If not, then it might be a crime, and Bryce Williams will correct that.
Let's look at the next game tonight, Duke and Houston. Low total. The number keeps coming down a little bit on Duke as well. Where are you leaning so far before the game tips off?
Yeah, well, two teams that I have national championship odds on are Duke and Auburn. So I expect one of these teams to lose. I'm hoping it might be Auburn here in the second half because I do have more money on Duke, to be honest. And I think the Blue Devils are the complete team, right? But there is one team that could challenge them probably defensively, and that's the Houston Cougars. Now, I think one of the angles that I like and I already played is the first half team total over 32.5 for Duke. Now, that's the lowest line you'll get on the Duke Blue Devils all season long. We're consistently seeing 38.5 to 43.5 for this team, unless you're playing the non-conference schedule. Then we see higher numbers. So 32.5 is a great deal here. Now, while Houston is one of the best teams at getting their hands on the ball, offensive rebounding, good tips, you've seen the wrestling drills in practice, right? I think that Duke will come up with some type of game plan here to spread them out a little bit, make rebounding a little tougher on them. And they do have size down low, but guys like Con Keppel, they're going to have to step up a lot because he's not a prototypical guy that's going to body a lot of Houston players. But if he gets matched up with LJ Cryer and company, maybe these guys from Duke have a real chance of getting to the bucket, right, getting rebounds. So I like Duke early in this game, first half team total over, but I do think the best bet for the full game is the under. I mean, I didn't want to be too vanilla and say first game's going over, second game's going under, but it really seems like that in the matchups with the tempo-wise and how all these teams play into that factor. I mean, Duke and Houston, both bottom 15 tempo defensively in the country, and Houston, we know, forced a ton of turnovers, and now their team turns the ball over a lot. Just Houston does not get to the free throw line or knock down threes enough or at a good amount of rate for me, guys. So I do think Duke is the better team. I think they advance. I like the under. And if you like the under and Duke, I mean, that's a plus money parlay right there.
Yep, you and me both were on riding the under for tonight, Vaughn. I wonder if someone, we both cover college basketball all season, and you have a lot of people, casual bettors now getting into the game, starting in postseason play. Do you believe that there has been enough respect or knowledge at least given to just how good Duke has been on defense? And is that maybe a reason why we are getting a little bit of value here to the under tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even realize until, you know, midway through December probably how good Duke really is defensively. And I started catching on. I mean, this team is right up there with Houston. And I think that's why the under is the best bet here. These are probably two of the best defensive teams in the country, and they've been for most of the year. I mean, Auburn obviously in the conversation too, but they just get caught up playing in that SEC tempo, running up down the court, where Duke doesn't really get caught up in that with their team. So yeah, I mean, they have so much talent, so much great coaching here that I think both these teams will be playing more chess than checkers in this game. We're seeing some checkers here in this Auburn and Florida game compared to what we'll see in the Duke and Houston game. So I mean, we're the Final Four, I don't know how you guys feel about it, but it's living up to the potential so far with some great basketball here in this first half. I expect it in the second half and with the Duke and Houston game. While we don't have the Cinderellas or the underdogs, I do think that talent-wise, this may be one of the best Final Fours that we may ever see.
I know that Houston's better offensively than last season, right? But is there some worry that in this game they have that like 4-minute stretch where they don't score and that lead balloons out to where just you can't come back. You mentioned Duke's defense. They're very long. Mm-hmm. Like, they're long inside. You saw what they did to Alabama, where they just got in everyone's face as they crossed half court to limit three-pointers. Like, it does feel like if Houston has that stretch for 4 or 5 minutes, this one is done. It could be a double-digit win for Duke.
Yeah, and I mean, Houston's conditioning is very well. So, I mean, they're going to have to probably do some full-court presses here, in my opinion. Like, that's how you're going to have to try and force Duke into these turnovers and slow this team down, because the one thing that Houston doesn't want to do is trail early. And that's why I like that Duke first half team total over too. Because if you get Houston in a trailing state, I don't think that's a team that's very dangerous, or as dangerous, I should say, as Auburn or Florida would be, right, in a trailing state. Florida down 8 right now, they could absolutely cover the 4. They could absolutely win this game. We've seen what happens when you leave the door open, when you miss free throws on a front end of a 1-1. You can't do that, right? But against Houston, right, this is a team that's only getting to the free throw line 16.2% of the time on the season. That's 315th. They've shot 15 free throws over the last two games. They're not even hitting 42% from their two in the last two-point range in the last two games. So that's not good enough, in my opinion, to beat Duke. You'll need better shooting. Like a team like Auburn, who we've seen what they look like when they play up to their potential, they are dangerous offensively. But in Florida as well, I mean, Walter Clayton, best guard in the country. But Houston, I don't think LJ Cryer and these big men, I don't think they have enough offensively here to hang with Duke if they get up by 8 or 10 points. So I'm with you. I think Houston, a lot of full court press tonight if you want to get to Duke and win this game.
Current line, Duke minus 4.5, 136.5, your prevailing total. Couple minutes before second half tips in Florida Auburn, Vaughn. So we'll let you go get those bets that you were talking about. But thank you as always here for giving us some time, and best of luck here. Last couple of days of the season, you've been hard at work since early November, man. So I know it'll be a well welcomed rest there. But thanks as always for giving us some insights.
Yeah, appreciate it, guys. But, you know, MLB season, NBA season, everything continues. So never resting, always winning.
Well, of course. No days off for Vaughn. Follow him at V-Money Sports. See him on NBC Sports betting coverage as well as on Peacock. Great to have Vaughn with us here as we've got a couple minutes till they get back underway. Game one at San Antonio. Quick reminder, as we're talking about where the market has been moving, we'll talk betting splits throughout the night if you want to know where the money is really going. Our betting splits come straight from Circa and DraftKings, giving you insight into where the sharp action is landing. Circa, known for taking big bets from pros, while DraftKings provides a broader market perspective. You can see the percentage of bets versus handle on every game across every major sport, and you can get VSiN's summer special right now and get all those betting splits for just $59. And that's available until August 1st at VSiN.com/subscribe. All right, Jeff, second half. Auburn, Florida, about to get underway right after this. We'll get you all the live updates here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Big thanks to Vaughn Dalzell of NBC Sports for joining us on Live Bet Saturday. Back with Jeff Schwartz. I'm Ben Wilson, and we're underway, Jeff, second half. Auburn in Florida. Florida gets the first basket here. It's 46-40 Auburn. So you had a decision to make there while we were talking with Vaughn. Yeah. You had some Auburn pregame. Did you end up pulling the trigger here, taking a little back? You did.
Yeah, Florida plus 4.5. So, yeah, and when I take some back, it's not the full unit that I put on the other wager. So, just, you know, hopefully I middle. I mean, you know, that would be a heck of a night to get a middle. So, I do think it will get closer. I just don't expect this game to be a runaway for either team, and we'll hopefully land right in the middle. That'd be fantastic. An Auburn win by 4 points would be just the bee's knees.
Just fine and dandy. I as someone who is alive in one remaining bracket pool, and I need an exacta. Like, my bracket pool has come down to a Houston over Auburn exacta, which was obviously the long shot based on the odds. I'd be all for it. An Auburn win by 4 there, for you to get home. We're just underway. We'll keep you posted too on what the live odds and all those end up being reflected by as we continue. As far as some of the, you know, the player props, likely to get some of these cashing pretty shortly because Walter Clayton Jr. He was at 20.5, Jeff. Really good first half, even with Florida trailing, as he had a 14 first half points. So he's well on pace here. As far as the rest, Elijah Martin at 14.5. He's got 10 for Florida out of the gates. You know, the big one we'll be following is the Janiah Broome was 19.5 13 points, 4 rebounds. You took an under Jeff on his points, rebounds, assists. So you've got a little bit more room to play with here. And it's just, I'm fascinated. How does Bruce Pearl use Broom? He's at the free throw line right now. It seemed like any time he went, you know, more than like two and a half minutes without a stoppage and more than like 4 minutes of game time, you could tell he was getting winded. It wasn't practicing really at all this week as he was nursing his injury, trying to get is good to go for today. So that to me is the big question of how the second half will play out.
Absolutely. Look, he's playing fantastic. And I think he's what's been impressive so far is the physicality he's played with. He's just going right at Florida. He's going right at those guys. He's getting the foul line. He's got now 4 foul shots, and he's done a fantastic job. You're right. I mean, he's basically hockey shifting, right? Like they're trying to find ways to get him out before the TV timeout, right? Like you put him in it, take him out at 6:20, and you get at 16:20, you get that TV timeout at the next whistle. So I'm with you on what they're doing with him. It makes a lot of sense, and I think they'll continue trying to line shift as much as possible with him.
Especially because this last sequence we just watched, right? Okay, we're 17:48. He looks tired. So we're over 2 minutes into the proverbial shift. What has Auburn done so well all day? It's been keep Florida off the glass. What happens? Broom clearly a little bit labored. They give up an offensive rebound and one. And from a 9-point game, it's down to 6. So Auburn had a chance to get a rebound, take their first double-digit lead of the night. Instead, they give up a 3 the other way. Now Walter Clayton hits another triple, and in a blink of an eye here, Jeff, you go from Auburn up going potentially up double digits to now just up by 3, and that's what makes Florida so dangerous.
And this is why I think the Florida, what Auburn's trying to do tonight offensively, they have to go for it, like they got to go for it, and I think that's why they're trying to score as many. Like they could slow it down certainly. But if you slow it down and don't make shots, don't make baskets, and Florida comes out and hits a 3, you're doomed, right? So I think that's what Auburn is playing much faster on offense than they typically have, because they have to play fast on offense to keep up with Florida, who you know is going to score. Like keeping them down for minutes at a time is not going to happen. Florida gets a steal, by the way, and missed a layup right there. That would have made it a 1-point game. Probably would have kind of timeout from Bruce Pearl there. So Auburn survives that right there. Still 49-46.
As somebody who, similar to your pal, your co-host on the Bear Bets podcast, Chris Felica, someone who also had Texas Tech in Survivor and in regional futures, I sadly know the feeling of giving up a 9-point lead in a very quick amount of time to Florida. And Auburn has done just that, because Florida hits another triple, 9-0 run in 90 seconds. And you're at least feeling good, Jeff. You took a piece of Florida when you did, because, wow, how this thing has flipped. And Bruce Pearl right now just desperate to get to the under 16 media timeout.
Yeah, because I guess, with it so close there, you probably don't have to take a timeout yourself, right? There'll be a whistle at some point. But I think there's something to the idea of letting your guys play through it sometimes. Obviously, it depends on the team you have and whatnot. I mean, look, there are games that are tough, and you have to find ways to make plays, and you can't always call timeout to stop the run. Even a veteran team has been in this spot before. Look, and the ball goes out of bounds, and now they get the ball back, and you save the timeout. No damage done, and you get under 16-minute TV timeout. So it worked out for Auburn here, game tied at 49.
How about this? And we get the updated live odds now, which we do go to a TV timeout. We get a ball knocked out of play, so Bruce Pearl does not have to take his timeout. And as a result, we went from at 1 point Florida, as when Jeff bet it catching 4.5. They've scored Auburn here 11-3 in the second half. Florida's now your favorite, -1.5 live, and 167.5. Is your total that survivor pool I was talking about, Jeff? How about this? There are 1,700 of us to start, and most years, I mean, you're down to like a small handful by the final four.
Yeah,
212 people had entries today. 212 people still alive in this survivor pool.
All the chalk,
because of the chalk. So 72 people, about a third, are actually on Auburn, and then 40 are on Florida. Duke with 69 selections was second. Houston with 31 selections. So, I mean, regardless of the outcomes tonight, you're going to have these big survivor pools with a lot of chop as far as that pot goes. But I obviously would have loved to have at least been in a position to go through the mental gymnastics of what to do. My initial plan had Texas Tech won was to use Houston Sunday, go Auburn/Michigan State, today and then Duke in the title game. But obviously I was unable to do that. And it seems like that's been the strategy here for the majority of people, as they kind of believe that the Duke Houston game, Jeff, will be that de facto title game later tonight.
I'll tell you what, man, if Florida wins today, I think Duke's win the championship. I'll give you that. But Florida, the way they can score, man, it's not a foregone conclusion that Duke beats them, right? I mean, Florida plays, you know, shoots out of their mind. It's not going to happen. So I'm kind of curious if, you know, to see that matchup. I think we, right now, it looks like Florida has some momentum. So did you have Tech futures as well, or you just had Tech in the Survivor?
Yeah. No, yeah. I had the future.
Did you hedge it all? Because I had a buddy that had the Texas Tech, and I said, hey, man, are you going to hedge it all? He took Florida, I think, plus 5.5, 6.5 during the game when they were down 10. So he did get some money back on that future, but that was pretty bad.
The issue is I'm on the road in Florida right now, but I'm in base now in California predominantly. So I've been going back and forth. Like, I'll, you know, have action placed in Vegas, but what that unfortunately does is, for in-game purposes, I'm kind of screwed. So I was sitting there like, well, I can't really hedge at least in-game, so I'm gonna ride this out. We're up 9, and then it did not work out that way. Quick reminder here, especially while we're trying to we're talking all these betting and these in-game angles, there's always great opportunities to bet with our friends at First Bet, and we want to remind you to take your betting to the next level. Betting the ponies, whether it's Santa Anita, Gulfstream, or the road to the Kentucky Derby and Preakness, First Bet puts the action at your fingertips. Sign up now at First Bet. That's the number one. stbet.com and use promo code VSIN200 to score a 20% rebate on all your wagers for the first 60 days up to $200. Do not miss out. Bet smarter today at firstbet.com. Okay, out of the media timeout here. Florida now an in-game favorite. All knotted up, 49 apiece, and Walter Clayton Jr. makes it an 11-0 run. Looks like he's about to go over his point prop, Jeff. One more bucket for Clayton Jr. to do that. And it is 51-49 here. First lead since midway through the first half for Florida.
Yeah, I was going to do the Clayton prop. I was on it last game. I don't know why I just didn't. I don't know why I should have done it. I mean, this is the type of player we've seen over the years that helps their team win championships, right? A scoring guard. Guy that can put the ball in the bucket off the drive and can certainly shoot. And when we see these championship teams, this is part of it, right? You see this type of player be part of the championship team as Broome gets an N1 now. They're trading back. This is a great game, man. It's back and forth. Broome that looks, again, that timeout kind of got refreshed. The thing where I noticed about Broome, and to be fair, I haven't watched his defense throughout the year, to be quite honest. He looks like he's saving a lot of his energy for the offensive side of the court right now, where defensively, just kind of standing there. Offensively, full speed ahead.
It's a take space approach right now on defense. But yes, the last couple of missed shots, he's sort of been on the opposite side of the key, at least here on a missed shot. He sort of walls away a defender and allows a teammate to get the rebound. But you're totally right. He's clearly not 100%. Yeah, at the same time, though, was it really warranted to, as you heard oddsmakers all week on this network and on others say that, you know, the Florida line was 2.5 because it was about a 1.5 to 2 point adjustment on Janiah Broome not being 100%. I don't know if that's really been warranted with what we've watched today, but at the very least, Auburn right now has lost the momentum. Now they try to regain it, and they have a man down as we go to break here. Injury. As Jones took a big shot. So we'll step aside, all even, 51 apiece. We'll also get you some previews on the 8 p.m. Eastern slate of games. Some really good action in the NBA, Major League Baseball, which we'll talk about next here on Live Bet Saturday.
Saturday on VSAN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back on Live Bet Saturday, where it's getting tight. It's been tight the whole way. Auburn takes a 2-point lead in our first of two final four games, 13:56 to go. Auburn 53-51 after a flagrant foul assessed to Chinyelu of Florida, who now has 3 personals. He hits the bench. Denver Jones makes a couple of free throws. I'm back with Jeff Schwartz. I'm Ben Wilson. And right now, Jeff, we got This is pretty much a pick 'em depending on where you're shopping right now. I'm seeing Florida -1.5, 167.5 is your total. I'm weirdly like you. I mean, you're in a good position because you're totally live to middle this year with having both Auburn and Florida here catching over a possession. I'm glad I'm just out of having any positions right now, just because this game has been amazing. And I don't know that I'm really enticed to jump in, especially because I am pretty heavily backloaded here to game two. So it's that rare feeling as a bettor where you're like, I'm actually kind of glad I can just enjoy watching an incredible game, because really, I mean, you could tell me anything happens the final 13-41, and I really would not be surprised.
It's been a wonderful game. I mean, I think this is what you want. Look, I know people say that they want the underdogs, and the answer is always, you never watch those games. Like, these are the games we want. We want the one seeds. That's what we want. And we're getting a one seed game. We're getting two teams. They're shooting the ball efficiently. There's been runs going back and forth, back and forth. Now, the fouls are starting to pile up. You know, Ford's got their fourth foul. Auburn's got three already. You know, we could get to a foul shooting game at some point. So, you know, possibly over. But this does feel like a one possession game. It's coming down to one possession, right? And because both these teams are doing what they have to do. And it's we've got a lot of points now. What's the live total? I imagine, is it closing number about?
Yeah, it's actually 162.5. So we peaked in the first half at 169.5. Halftime was about 168. So Jeff, a few points higher than what our closing total was.
Yeah. So the scoring is slowing down, sort of predictable, right? Is both teams taking a little bit longer to get in their offense right now? Shooting not quite the same, but a lot of whistles though. Second half fouls and turnovers. So a little sloppier as it gets a little tighter in the second half.
That's tended to be a theme. Yes, seven fouls. We were at, I believe, seven combined fouls at about three and a half minutes to go in the first half. We're at seven minutes into the second half here. Point prop wise, we'll continue to keep you posted as guys go over. Was going to mention the other injury note though for Auburn, which was for Baker Mazzara. He was at Chad Baker Mazzara, 11.5 on his point prop, 10 points out of the chute. So Baker Mazzara has also, as much as we've talked so much about Janiah Broome, Jeff, and how good he's looked despite being injured, Chad Baker Mazzara, kind of an unheralded guy who also was banged up, and yet he has been a big source as Auburn gets a turnover, has the ball. They have the ball up two right now. Baker Mazzara, very much underrated part of the success tonight for Auburn.
Absolutely. And we love to see guys step up and make plays. And that's what we're getting. And you're right. Look, the turnover is starting to pick up a little bit. The fouls are picking up. So this game is churning sloppy, which if you have the under ticket and you thought after 30 points the first 4 minutes of the game that you were dead, I don't know. I don't know if you're going to be dead in this one. 12 minutes left. You're a little ahead of me, though. I think it's 53-51. I don't know if they scored or not.
They did just get a bucket to make it 55-51. This is a rarity for me, Jeff. I'm usually on the YouTube TV setup, and I'm like 45 seconds behind everybody.
That's what I got.
This is a rarity.
Yeah, that's what I'm on. I'm on the YouTube TV setup right now, so I'm a little behind everybody.
I know your feeling, though. Big foul call, though. Tahad Pettiford picks up his third, so the freshman stud off the bench for Auburn will have to take a seat. They get Broome out of the game because we're about to go to a media timeout, so smart from Bruce Pearl, at least trying to steal his slightly under 100% star a few extra seconds here as Auburn has forced three turnovers in the last three possessions. All right, we're about to get to a under 12 media timeout. By the way, Walter Clayton Jr., first player to go over his point prop. He hits a corner three, 22 for Clayton. That was a -110 prop either side on over 20.5. So Clayton, the first one to cash. We'll get back to this game here in just a second. A quick reminder that if you're ready to take your sports betting to the next level, check out the folks at sharpplays.com. That is your secret weapon. At the Sharp Play since 2011, they've been building trusted relationships with major sports books and sports insiders worldwide with daily updates on what top pros and betting groups are wagering on. So you're always ahead of the game. They've also launched cutting edge AI betting analyst that provides even more selections and reports, giving you the edge you need to win. You can check out the Sharp Play's free content anytime. Explore all their records, including detailed online logs on the website, sharpplays.com. Coming up on 8 p.m. Eastern as well, Jeff, we've got some good action going on in the association where we get two completely reeling teams, my hometown Milwaukee Bucks, who have just been an absolute, it's been a horror show. I mean, Giannis is balling out every night, and it's like he can have 30, 20, and 10 And it doesn't even matter because the supporting cast has left a lot to be desired. Milwaukee and Miami tonight, the Miami Heat, who are just kind of hanging on, going to limp in likely into one of those play-in tournament spots. And the market is saying, yeah, we're going to bet against the human achievement aspect here because we've seen a point total steam of about 5.5 points to the under. We're down to 209 on the total. Bucks laying 1.5 on the road. No way, Jeff, I can bet on either of these teams right now. It has been really ugly from an offensive perspective. When the Bucks have not had Damian Lillard, we still don't know when he's coming back with the blood clot and the deep vein, the thrombosis going on in his leg, which has been really, unbelievably horrible timing for that, as far as when Lillard can come back. And the Bucks have had their issues defensively as well, with or without Lillard on the floor. Yet Miami has been so hard of scoring all year, and in particular over the last couple of months. So this was just a big giant yuck for me and a stay away in this 8 p.m. Eastern slot.
Yeah, I didn't look at much NBA tonight, except, I think we both sort of were on the idea of taking the Timberwolves at some point tonight, and that seems unlikely to happen, unless maybe we just decide third quarter, they come out of halftime and just try to put the game away. Maybe a thought in that game, but probably unlikely to get there. And the other games, I don't have much on. So, but I'm with you on if under is being steamed that way, I think you just stay away for now.
Especially, you missed the opportunity early, which was when the number was at about 214, 214 and a half on the overnights. Now down to 209, 209 and a half, not worth the play, not worth chasing the steam on the under there in Milwaukee and Miami. Minnesota does lead that Philadelphia in the aforementioned Timberwolves Sixers game. They lead Philadelphia 38-31 halfway through the second quarter. Minnesota a whopping 16-point favorite in that game. And Memphis on top of Detroit. I'm glad I stayed away, Jeff. I was thinking about taking some Pistons as a home dog against a team who would not beat a winning team since February 2nd. But sometimes the market can give you little tea leaves as to maybe why it's a good idea to not pursue a particular wager. And that was why I decided not to bet Detroit tonight. And they've struggled out of the gates here, down 32-26 as a 1-point home dog there.
It feels like the NBA, though, can be so up and down. I mean, like, these leads go, just kind of on a roller coaster, right? So it's a slow start for Detroit, but it certainly feels like not the end of the game for them, obviously.
So, yeah, certainly so. We can have a lot of swings still to come. As far as the baseball that is underway, the Reds, the Reds who had two
runs.
Can't
score. They did score.
Four
straight.
Four combined games. Yeah, they get shut out three straight games, Jeff. They get two runs yesterday. We're being no hit for a good time. They get four runs against the Milwaukee here to start.
Here we
so
go, Reds.
I don't know if you were part of that,
I don't have anything on this game, but a little bit of me was not happy the Reds didn't score, but the torpedo bat thing blew up so fast. Everyone was just betting the overs for all these torpedo bat guys, and obviously the Reds have a couple torpedo bat guys, and just. We're not going to have this boom offensively in baseball, in my opinion, because torpedo bats, like, it's just not going to. And so I was a little bit happy to see like the scoring settle down with after one game of torpedo bats going off. Do you think, are you changing the way you wager on baseball because the bats? I'm not.
No, it's a great point. It's not like we're playing backyard baseball. Remember when you'd get the aluminum bat or you get the
big red one, that big fat red one.
Yeah. Or you make contact with, and it goes like 578 feet, or you get the gopher bat and you hit the ball and it goes underground. It's like that. Yes. That's one of the greatest video games of all time. That's not what the torpedo bat actually does, though, in real life. And like, look at a team like the Milwaukee Brewers, who get absolutely torpedoed in general the first four games of the season. That's like the equivalent of, you play in the NFL, Jeff, like based on the time frame of Major League Baseball and its season, that's like if you started opening day and your team gave up a kickoff return touchdown and then threw a pick six and it was down 14-0 at the end of one quarter. Like, that's what that equivalent was for the Brewers, and guess what, they've been much better. They've won four straight games to get back to 4-4, so that to me is just a classic example of how you cannot make any grand statements about Major League Baseball. They have had at least like a good month of sample size of data.
Except the Braves, like, if you do the math on what it would take to like be a playoff team or to win a division, they gotta win like 89-90 of the rest of their games, which is not impossible to do. But starting 0-7 is not a place I think you want to be if you want to be a division winner or be a playoff team.
And they are down early with their much ballyhooed young starter, A.J. Smith-Shawver. We'll update you on that game as well as everything else going on in the sports world, including the Final Four. 10 minutes to go from San Antonio here on Live Bet Saturday.